Hi everyone, Drew Prout here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Today is Big Idea Tuesday, where I come to you with a thought, a distinction, an idea that's radically transformed my life for the better. Today, we're talking about addictions, mental addictions. And I use this term lightly. I want to say that we're not talking about actual substance abuse, which is a real thing that many people deal with. And I want to say that we've done some episodes with Dr. John Kelly and Dr. Roland Griffiths on this topic of drug addiction or cigarette addiction or alcohol addiction. And this episode is not that. I'm using the term addiction lightly to bring attention to things that are hard for us to quit. So with that disclaimer out of the way, I want to throw in one more thing. You know, it's been amazing to get to know so many of you. If you don't know, I do this thing where I keep about 3 hours a week of my schedule open just to chat with people who listen to this podcast. And if you're interested in chatting, there's no ulterior motives. I don't have anything to sell. I don't do any coaching or consulting or anything else like that. It's just quick 10-minute calls. Want to hear a little bit about where you live. What are you up to? What are you passionate about? And just for us to get a chance to say hi to each other. If that's something that you'd like to do, I keep a rolling schedule like every 7 days since my schedule changes often, but I'll book about 7 days in advance and I'll send you a link to my calendar so you can pick a time slot that works for you. If that sounds like something you want to do and you want to say hi and you want to say hello and give me some feedback on the podcast and tell me about what you're passionate about, it's really easy. All you have to do is text 302-200-5643. 3 hours a week, 10 minutes appointments, but I keep about a few minutes in between since some of the calls go a little longer. I want to have some time. So I generally chat to about 10 to 25 people a week. 10 to 25 people a week. Sometimes I do more than 3 hours, so that's how I can fit in 25. So again, if you want to chat and you want to say hi, text me and 302-200-5643. Say hi and say you'd love to book a 10-minute call with me, and that's it. So those are two things that I wanted to get out of the way before we jump in today's topic, 5 hidden mental addictions that often hold us back. What is a mental addiction? A mental addiction is something that we know that's not serving us, or maybe feel inside of our body that's not serving us, even if our frontal lobe executive function doesn't understand that it's not serving us in that moment. And you know, there's this question that I've asked before in past podcasts. I've asked this question. I said, you know, for every pattern or habit that you have that's destructive, something that you don't want to keep around, we have to remember that part of breaking that pattern is understanding what we get in return for keeping it alive. So if it's something with health, if you overeat at certain times, well, besides the physiology of the fact that sugar will hijack your brain and make you feel hungry and not satiated, so there's a lot of physiological components that are there. But on a mental level, if there's something that you're doing that's not supportive towards where you want to be, we have to understand that there's a reason. You know, human beings are not illogical. There's a reason that we keep them alive. There's always something that we get in return. And when we understand what we get in return, it's easier to break that habit that's there. We did a great episode on habits. If you haven't listened to it, with BJ Fogg, just look up that episode on the Broken Brain Podcast. So today we're talking about 5 hidden mental addictions that are holding us back, that often hold us back. We're going to jump right in. Number one, the addiction to prioritizing everyone else at the expense of your deepest work. Now, prioritizing everyone else at the expense of the things that really make you shine and make you happy and make you give your gifts, your unique gifts to the world, is a mental addiction. Because even though we know it's not working out for us, even though we know we are sacrificing ourselves, even though we know that we're not making progress on the things that we want to make progress on, we still sometimes prioritize other people. You know, it's very rare that people are taking advantage of us. In fact, a lot of times when we say that people are taking advantage of us, what we really mean is I'm saying yes to things that I don't really want to do, or I'm scared of setting or resetting boundaries. I'm not asking for what I really want. or I'm not being honest with myself and others about my limits. Can you relate to any of those? Can you relate to any of those things that are there? You know, we have a story in our head. A story means it's not reality. We give meaning to a few of events that have happened, and we turn them into narratives inside of our head. And one of the narratives that we turn inside of our head is we have all these reasons why we have to prioritize other people. Now, sometimes we're the caregiver for a family member. I've been a caregiver for a family member, and it might mean that I just don't have as much time to put on the things that make me happy or the future projects or projects that I want to work on. And that's real, right? So it might mean that you just don't have as much time. It might mean that you have a young child, that you can't do the things that you want to do. That's fine. Those are real life aspects that are there that genuinely should be taking up time inside of our schedule. That's not what I'm talking about. Those are commitments that we're leaning into, even if they can be tough sometime. What I'm talking about is the addiction, the mental addiction, the hidden, often hidden mental addiction of prioritizing everyone else. You know, going back to that question that I've asked in past podcasts before, which is, you know, no matter how destructive our patterns are, there's always a reason that we keep them alive. We have to understand what's in it for us. I guess it's not a question, it's more of a statement. You have to think about what's in it for you when you are addicted to prioritizing everyone else at the expense of your deepest work. Well, first of all, you get to keep that story alive. That the reason that you can't make progress on your health, the reason that you can't launch that side business, the reason that you can't volunteer more is because you have everybody else's stuff to deal with. So just feel that for a second. If that's you, if you put everybody else in front and you're addicted to doing that, even when they don't necessarily need your help or ask for it, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, you might be an individual that's afraid. There's always a reason that we keep our destructive behaviors operating. There's always something in it for us. So what's in it for us when we deal with one of these addictions is we don't have to make progress on the thing that often is scary. It's scary to say, you know what, I'm going to finally invest in me and I'm going to actually make progress on my health and some of the goals, which that could be simple goals. Like walking every day, like just getting in a little bit of resistance training, getting a couple dumbbells off of Amazon, small 7-pound weights, and getting a chance to follow some workouts online. It could be reading more, right? These don't have to be grandiose things. They could be things that take us in the direction of what we want to do. And it's very important to understand if we're afraid of doing them, because fear is real. We have a really good podcast on fear coming up with Dr. Mark McLaughlin, who's a brain surgeon who had to really face fear in his work and wrote a whole book on that topic. So fear is often the reason that we keep hidden addictions alive. Let's go into number two. Some of you might recognize this one, the addiction to certainty and avoiding the unknown. In our brain, we have our default neural network. That's the way that our brain is used to operating. It's the sort of, if you imagine a ski slope, it's the way that if everybody only went down the same path, it's skiing down the same path again and again and again, and you get deep rivets and it makes it hard to go off into a different path that's there. So in our way, our brain naturally wants toward to go through relying on this default neural network. It wants to go to the certainty and the known, and it wants to avoid the unknown, the unexpected. But usually the magic in our life happens when we embark on the unknown, even when it comes to making progress on some of these goals that we care about that we've felt like we've never made progress on, like improving our health, like volunteering more, like starting a side business, like getting more involved in our church or local community, like writing a book, whatever it is. You might have an idea around something that you want to create, something that you've always had a vision around. And if you feel that you have had the addiction of going towards certainty, which might mean filling your schedule up with things that are known instead of filling your schedule up with the unknown, even on a very basic level. Let's say you have a friend group. Now that the world is starting to open up a little bit and you're spending time with that friend group, but deep down inside, you've always been passionate as a kid about dancing. And you thought, you know what, how fun would it be for me and my husband or me and my partner to go to salsa classes together, right? Well, if you've never done that before, that's the unknown. It's a little bit kind of nerve-wracking, right? You might feel, am I going to be good at this? Are people going to make fun of me? Are they going to laugh? You know, there could be a lot of different things that can come up for you. So instead, you might say like, oh no, we'll just do the regular hangouts that we're used to. Well, we'll just hang out with the normal group that we're used to. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's just if we have the addiction to certainty. Again, prefacing that I'm using the word addiction lightly here. We're not talking about real addictions that are there that people are facing with. I don't want to make light of the situation, but I do want to acknowledge that in a way, an addiction is when you keep on doing something that you know is not working for you, but you can't quit it. You can't stop it because you're not connecting the dots and understanding what are the reasons why you might continue this addiction. And again, a big part of it comes to fear. The addiction to certainty and avoiding the unknown is natural. Now, how do we get around it? Well, how we get around it is first awareness. It's always awareness. Everything in this podcast is awareness, awareness, awareness. The second thing that we do is we take baby steps. If you've heard my podcast with BJ Fogg, if you haven't, please go listen to it. He's the author of this book called Tiny Habits. And what he's shown through this process that now over 40,000 people have gone through is just taking little steps in the direction of the thing that we want to do along with a pattern that's already in our routine, right? So take an anchor pattern, something that's already happening regularly, like brushing your teeth, you do it every day. And he's like, if you want to do more push-ups, well, just do one push-up, right? Or even better yet, to start off, after you brush your teeth, go and just get in the push-up position, even if you don't do a push-up, even if it's on your knees. You know, you can't do a full push-up. Then the next day, you do a little bit more. Then the next day, you do a little bit more. You're trying to anchor that habit into your routine that already exists. Anyways, you got to listen to the podcast because we go deep into how to do it and how to set up new patterns and also break patterns if that's something that's there for you. So the topic today's Broken Brain Podcast, Big Idea Tuesday/Wednesday, is 5 hidden mental addictions that often hold us back. Number 3, the addiction to being let down and expecting the worst in others. Woo! This is a big one. So let's look at this one again. The addiction to being let down and expecting the worst in others. You know, sometimes life happens and it doesn't work out the way that we want to. Somebody could say that often life doesn't go the way that we want to. And some of these events can be very traumatic for us. They can be tough. We can have our heart broken. We can lose a business. We can have something fail, a project not work out. We can get passed up for an opportunity. You know, our son or daughter or family member, you know, gets sick or something bad happens, right? That's just the point. Now, when something bad happens, and if enough bad things happen or the way that we internalize it and the meaning that we give it, we can start to develop a pattern, a mental addiction in our brain where we expect the worst to happen. And the challenge with that is that when we start to program our brain to expect the worst, we expect to be let down, we expect the worst in others, we go out looking for that information. We go out looking to find and prove our brain right. Remember, your brain is like a detective. It's always going to go out on the hunt to prove you right for what you believe. And it's going to go look and gather information that's there, and often in a way that's biased. So if you have a biased belief, right, a true detective would say, well, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but a crime happened. Let's actually find out what actually happened. That's a true detective. But our brain is often biased in these situations. And when we biasly, because of past experiences, because of, you know, traumatic events, because of being let down in our own life, or again, having our heart broken or a failure of a business, whatever it might be, because those things happen, sometimes our brain becomes biased and it starts to look for information, addictively so, to be examples or signs that we're going to be let down. And we're going to expect the worst in others. Why does it do that? Why would our brain want to be looking for this type of information? Why would our mind be looking for this information? Well, It's truly to avoid pain. One of the ways that we avoid pain is that we let ourselves down before somebody else has the opportunity to let us down. We expect the worst in others so that when it actually happens, it's not that big of a deal and we're not hurt. Oh, I expected it anyway. I didn't expect them to follow through anyway. We cross our arms and we just say, that's the way the world works. It's, I didn't expect that project to happen anyway. The challenge with that is that when you train your brain and when you have the addiction, although it comes from a good place, you're trying to protect yourself. When you train your brain to operate this way, you end up looking for that. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The addiction to being let down and expecting the worst in others becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your behaviors and the energy that people pick up around you is, they're like, well, this is a negative Nancy or negative Tim. This is somebody that is expecting the worst. And so how could they really be pleased with my performance or results in the first place? People around you start to get trained that you are looking for the negative. And when you're looking for the negative, that's what you will find. That's why we call this an addiction, a mental addiction, because it's a pattern that happens, but we don't know why it often happens. But when we understand that it's being motivated by a way to protect us from pain, then we can take a step back and say, hey, look, these things happen to you. And literally, we could say this to ourselves. We could put our hand on our heart, as Dr. Kristen Neff has taught us, and said, you know what? That was tough. You know, last year was really tough. Or this event that happened to you was really tough, and you did your best, and you got your hopes up, and you really thought it was going to work out, and it didn't. And you're also, that has no reflection on what's going to happen in the future. That was one past event, and it was tough, and we want to make sure that we heal from that. If we need to talk to somebody about it, if we need to let go of some emotions that are attached to it, if we need to do some inner work on it, that was tough, and I feel for you, and I'm so sorry that happened to you. Sometimes we and our body, remember that memories and trauma are not just in the brain and in our neurons, they're in our body, and the body is the mind, as Dr. Dan Siegel has shared with us on past podcasts. The mind is the whole body. Trauma is stored in the body. You can have a traumatic event. Sometimes even just losing your job could be a traumatic event. Something happens to somebody else, or witnessing the trauma in the world could be a traumatic event, and you internalize and you just feel that you're expecting the worst in humanity. That, there's a lot of that going on right now. Because of the actions of a few people, unfortunately, a lot of individuals are expecting the worst in humanity. And one thing I know for sure is that human beings largely are good people. That doesn't mean we don't address and acknowledge the negative and bad behavior that's been there and try to do something about it, but I don't ever want to expect the worst in other people, because it's not true. It's not true at all. Human beings are fundamentally good. They want to show up and help other people, and there's a few of them that might have different ulterior motives through their own pain and suffering and want to be negative in the world, but that's not the majority. So anyways, forget about everybody else. Let's talk about you, the addiction to being let down and expecting the worst in others. Do you have that in your own life? Is that something that you want to pay attention to? And switch it and pivot it and say, wow, I went into this expecting the worst. I went into this family event, I went into this business presentation, or I went into this nonprofit, or I went into my church, or I went into whatever I was involved in, and I was expecting the worst. Let me not have any expectation. Doesn't mean you have to expect the best. Just be open-minded. Open-minded means you don't have negative expectations, don't have positive expectations. Just be present to what's happening. Then if it starts to go in a way that's not helpful or fruitful or something that you want to be involved in, then you can always back away from it. But we don't want to program our brain to look in advance for those, for being let down and for expecting the worst in other people, because we're going to find it. Okay, number four, the addiction to blame and criticism. The addiction to blame and criticism. You know, number four has a lot to do with number three, and I talk about blame and criticism a lot, because when we blame something or someone else for what's happening in our life, something really interesting happens. We give up our power. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that we can't hold people accountable for the actions. That doesn't mean that we can't say that somebody was at fault with something and that's why things are the way they are. But for 90% of the soft interpersonal things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis at home and with family and with work, when we place solely the blame on other individuals, what happens is we give away our power. Because essentially, when we're saying that it's 100% their fault that something happened, and we don't even take a 1% responsibility for it, that could even be not a direct responsibility, but like, you know, hey, I didn't do anything about the situation. I'm responsible too. I have to play a part in helping to improve it. When we put the blame on somebody else and we don't take at least some responsibility, we end up saying in our nervous system that I'm not in control, that they have all the power. When something is someone else's fault, that means that the solution also relies within them, which by default leaves us at a place of powerlessness. We don't have the power to do something about a situation. You know, blame and criticism can become addictions because, again, they become a way that we expect. When we expect to be let down, when we expect the worst in others, we use blame and criticism as tools to continue to protect ourselves. We use them as tools to continue to protect ourselves and not have fear and also not accept responsibility. You know, there's a little bit of a victim mindset that comes when we use blame as a primary tool to prevent ourselves from being able to move forward. Now, legitimately, there are things in our life that other people do. There's very unfortunate and traumatic situations that people go through, that other people are a major part or the sole reason that something happened, like an act of violence or sexual abuse or, you know, racial injustice that's out there. So there's no denying that those things exist. And those are more of the rarer situations in the total situations that we face in life, right? So those are the rare situations that exist out there. The more frequent situations that we deal with is that we deal with the interpersonal things of dealing with our relationship and our partner and our spouse and our kids and our boss at work or the people in our community. And it's there where you start to see that blame and criticism become primary ways to navigate relationships. And instead of trying to make things better, we use blame as a way to have an out. We use criticism without offering a solution, without being part of the solution. We use hypercriticism as a way to prop up our own ego. You know, we've done episodes on criticism before, and hypercriticism of other people are, you know, I've shared this, is that people who are hypercritical of others tend to be hypercritical of themselves. We've done some great episodes on criticism recently with Dr. Kristen Neff, Self-Compassion and Criticism, some Big Idea Tuesdays about being self-critical. And one of the key themes inside of there is that when we train our brain to be critical of other people, we also train our brain to be critical of ourselves. So that's a pattern and an addiction that we want to watch out for. Number five. And most importantly, the addiction, the mental addiction to being hard on yourself. Man, I talk about being hard on yourself so much because being hard on yourself is one of the central reasons that you would keep an addiction alive, a mental addiction that's not serving you. What do I mean by that? When you are regularly hard on yourself, you are beating yourself up unnecessarily. And when that happens, you are, in a way, becoming hyper-judgmental on yourself, which is essentially saying you didn't do something right, instead you're doing something wrong. And you end up in a place, in a position, where you don't want to try new things. You're going to hold on to the known instead of the unknown. You're going to prioritize everyone else instead of giving love and attention to your deepest work, whatever that work may be. Because when we're hard on ourselves, we beat ourselves up. We don't feel like trying anything new. We don't feel like putting ourselves out there. We don't feel like giving ourselves the love and attention that we deserve by spending time with ourselves and investing in ourselves because we don't feel like we're worth it. Why should I work on my health? I don't believe that I'm worth it. That belief is a very destructive belief, and it comes from being hard on yourself when you don't feel like you're good enough, when you don't feel like you are worthy enough. And maybe you had somebody when you were younger tell you that. Could have been a parent or a role model-like figure that told you that you weren't good enough, or a teacher or society, and you internalized that and you believed it and you never questioned it and you never said that, no, that's not true. I am good enough. I am worthwhile. I'm not going to beat myself up. Part of the recognition of not beating yourself up and not having the addiction of being hard on yourself is the recognition that you're trying your best. So how about some self-compassion for you who's listening and just knowing that you're trying your best, even in the situations where you didn't feel that you were your best. That's the best that you knew at that time. So that's in the past. Let's not beat ourselves up continuously about that. Instead, focus on today. Because when we beat ourselves up, that has ramifications and we're less likely to want to try moving forward in the future. That's why it's an addiction. It's not serving us. It's a mental addiction because even though we know beating ourselves up isn't the way to move forward, we sometimes forget. We sometimes forget and we need to be reminded. That's what these Big Idea episodes are. They're all about reminders that are there for you. I'm Drew Pruitt. This has been Big Idea Tuesday, 5 hidden mental addictions that often hold us back. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with somebody, leave a review. It would mean the world for me. And say hi, even if you don't want to hop on the phone for a 10-minute call, which, you know, I can't do with everybody right away, but I will eventually plan on doing this for a while. I'll eventually continue to put my calendar out there. And so hopefully we can hop on the phone eventually. If you just want to say hi on text, 302-200-5643. That's 302-200-5643. You can pop over on text message just through your regular text message app and you can say hi. I respond to everybody. I've been spending a lot of time responding to people, but it's been really beautiful to hear your stories and what you care about and what you're passionate about. Until next time.